What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today with the band Solstice. How you guys doing?
Good.
How are you?
Very good. Very good. I guess since we got all of you here, we might as well introduce ourselves. So you guys go ahead and say your names and what instruments you play, your roles in the band.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having us. I'm Grayson. I play drums.
My name's Maddox. I do bass.
My name's Marty. I'm the front man.
My name's Jackson. I play lead guitar. And we also have a piano player that couldn't make it right now, but his name's Jacob.
All right. Shout out, Jacob. It's nice to meet you, boys. And I've been really excited for this. So let's start out with, I guess, what have you guys been up to? Busy, like, touring in the studio? What have you guys been up to?
Yeah, we're all full-time students at the University of Tennessee, but every minute of free time we have, we're either traveling to play shows or we're in the studio or just together writing, practicing. This past summer, we've been recording our debut album, and we've started to release singles off of that. And yeah, we've just been playing a lot of shows and playing the hell out of those songs.
Yeah, just had two new singles come out. The next one is on October 24th, so it's been good stuff.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. How is it trying to balance the student life and the rock and roll life?
It's tricky. Not easy.
It's really hard, but
busy, but it's
yeah, we're hustlers and we enjoy it.
I mean, guys, it seems like it's working. I was looking at your guys' listeners, like on Spotify and everything, and like your guys' socials, and at least in that aspect, and from the pictures and photos of your guys' shows, I mean, it seems like you guys already got quite a fan base, which is fucking crazy to me. Like how that stuff kicks off, you know, because you guys are like, you know, 2019's when y'all formed, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So, like, I mean, you know, you're still up and coming, it's fair to say. And then, like, still being students at the same time. I mean, how does that feel to have, like, this, like, rush of fans and stuff and, like, have this kind of following already?
It's crazy. It kind of feels like a little bit of a double life type thing. Like, it's cool. It's just really cool that we are able to do both right now. Yeah, very grateful for that.
It's a super weird feeling from, like, going from playing on stage and just, like, going crazy and having a lot of fun one night just to like sitting in class like the next morning after that. It, like he said, it feels like a lot like a double life in a way.
Yeah, totally worth it though, I hope.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I guess before we hop into anything too quick here, if we could get kind of like a nutshell summary of how you guys came together and how you guys all clicked and formed the band Solstice. Any of you hop in?
Yeah, we formed, funny enough, like in high school. So I was like 15.
I was 15.
15, yeah. 16. And we just like, parents were friends or whatever. And we all kind of connected and started playing like pizza shops and doing, you know, we started like doing blues and we kind of found our influences and kind of meshed them all together. And then fast forward to college, we put some songs out and started playing a lot more, you know, college bars and doing that sort of thing, and kind of fell in love with writing songs, and you know, we got along all right, so that helped out too.
Now we're here.
Yeah. It's a lot easier, I'll say, like going from, I guess, kind of high school age to early college to like more an adult, like early adult thing, because then all your friends can kind of like, the 21 plus thing was a big deal for us, so it's like nice to be able to have people that can relate in that way and less of just like, I don't know, more older people. It's just really cool because it feels like now there's a little bit of connection with the audience in some way and a little bit of relatability that I think is a huge advantage of, I guess, being more of a young adult and also being that same age doing this while people are getting that freedom, I guess, which is really cool for our audience, I think.
Yeah, and that is a great, like, that age range, and like I don't know how much younger you guys are than me. I'm 27, so it's not like I'm like a super old man or anything, but like that age range like is very like detrimental to like finding what you're going to be listening to. So like being able to connect with, you know, the early 20 year olds trying to, they're still figuring shit out. Hell, we all are, but like being able to find that music you like that has to be a pretty cool feeling too.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. So I want to talk a bit about the scene where you guys like really started cutting your teeth and started to play in? Was it like where were you guys? Was it Knoxville, I believe you guys started out at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in like high school, we were playing pizza shops and little breweries that would have us. our moms were being our manager and booking agent, and they were sending out hundreds of emails. They were shout out our moms. They were really grinding for us when we were 15, 16, really trying to help us there. And then I guess the moment like we started cutting our teeth, well, we got into college and we started playing a lot of Greek life events around Knoxville and started kind of playing the better bars and around Market Square. And then we started to realize that, you know, we wanted to have like kind of a scarcity aspect in Knoxville, just so more people would come to our show and just kind of have like less frequent shows around Knoxville. So we started playing kind of regionally. And about a year and a half ago, we announced our first real tour. We'd gone out of town just, you know, to the North Carolinas, just kind of on one-offs, but we announced our first real tour about a year and a half ago. And we had just some friends that were, you know, kind of in the booking scene a little bit, help us book those bars and college gigs. And that was like our first real taste at like getting out and being on the road for multiple days at a time. And pretty much just for like the last year and a half, we really haven't stopped doing that. We've been some fearless weekend warriors, just going out every weekend and making it back in time for our 8 a.m.s. And but yeah, and then, you know, just we learned really quick that gigs get more gigs, and you know, so our goal was to play as many as we could and book as many as we could, and it's just rinse and repeat. And yeah, that's pretty much cutting teeth in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. And like I could kind of, I'm from Cincinnati and the music scene here is like there's not one like really, like, you know what I mean? And I'm wondering, like, for you guys, like, was there other artists, other peers at all when you guys really first started to hit the ground running? Or was it once you started to, like, you know, like you said, like go on like your first actual tour or whatnot, like were there other groups you could kind of bounce ideas off, like get close with in a community aspect? Or was it kind of just you guys around where you were from?
Yeah, I mean, there were other local bands as well, even some around our age, and we played shows with them and did little house parties and stuff, and it was just a great experience. The music community in Knoxville itself is amazing. There's so many amazing musicians here, but the lack is in like the venue space. Really, there's not really a space for these talented people to put on their shows. Because Nashville kind of takes a little bit of the stardom away from Knoxville.
Yeah.
If anyone else wants to tail off of that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we spent a lot of time doing like some bills when we were just getting going with our original stuff. And, you know, we did some, there's a really good smaller venue in Knoxville called the Pilot Light. And they're great and they're awesome. But there is kind of a lack, like Marty was saying, in this mid-sized venue where it's like, you know, you can, I think the Pilot Light's like 100 cap room or something like that. But after that, it's like, there's not really a next step where like most Knoxville bands play. So it's like, I don't know, in other cities, a lot of times there'll be like the small venue and then there's like 400 cap where it's like, okay, once you graduate from that venue, you go to the mid-size one. But we just kind of have, it's like the smaller one and then, you know, the theater. So it's there. Yep. I don't know, but we did find a lot of success. We did a lot of like house show stuff around college campuses, and that was always fun. You know, you partner with some bands and kind of build this like college community in the band scene. So
yeah,
that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And I love that, because that's like, that's truly like grassroots kind of shit. Like you have to play where you can, and sometimes like you face the adversity of where do we go from here. Like, all right, we got to figure out a house show to play. So that's really cool. And I'd like to talk now about how your guys' sound, and it's it's very unique in my opinion. And it's very cool. And I would like to know how you guys would describe it. Cause it, to me, it's kind of hard to fit it. If someone would say, hey, put the band Solstice in like a genre or a subgenre, it's like, I don't fucking know where I'd put them, but that's a good thing to me. So I'm curious on how you guys would describe your sound.
I think recently we've landed upon like indie folk rock sort of is sort of a good
kind of a title. Big umbrella.
It's like a big title because we do some like folky stuff, then we do some like rock stuff, then we do stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
We kind of just like to like write and play the music that like appeals to a certain sound depending on how we write it. Like it's not, we don't like to limit the art by the genre.
Yeah. And especially I think we've been making a lot of like indie rock and stuff, but being in East Tennessee and just around like bluegrass, folk and stuff, a lot of our songs already have some of that folky stuff and like mostly acoustic guitars, but we've been kind of experimenting with like banjo and pedal steel and stuff. And so it kind of meshes with, I guess, the more like rock aspect of like a song of ours, like Crash Out or something, where it's heavy driving guitar and like very visibly like rock sounds. Then it also kind of shares some aspects where we try to incorporate some of that more southern, like, I don't know if I'd say twang per se, but more of the Americana, like indie vibe, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to, and it sounds like you guys like to experiment a lot, like with that kind of stuff. And we're going to get into that in a minute here. But as someone who is, indie rock isn't my thing. I like it when I hear it, but I'm very confused on what indie rock is. Could you guys explain to an idiot like me or anyone else listening who might not know what indie rock at its like core is? Can you explain to everyone like what that might be?
I think like the whole, this sort of indie wave, I guess, I mean, early 2000s when you had bands like, I don't know, Wilco or Cage the Elephant is another one. The Strokes kind of pioneered this whole, I feel like the indie scene is just like, you know, over time it's grown to all these different pockets. And there's so many bands that just, you know, I mean, even like some of the biggest artists in the world now, like Taylor Swift, it's like, she's technically an indie artist. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's really cool how it's all grown. I guess like if you were going to put it like for fans of, I mean, Cage Elephant, Strokes. Do you guys have any other?
Yeah.
That's kind of the,
I feel like the genre, I feel like the genre indie rock itself, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it'd kind of be like if you had like the sound from the 70s and like the sound from kind of like the 90s grunge rock and just like smash them together. I feel like that's kind of it's like the suave rock, like,
stripped back rock.
A little bit
like Motown or something.
Hell yeah.
All the above.
I mean, it's a bunch of different influences.
I think obviously like indie, the word indie comes from independent. So I think early on it comes from that sort of unpolished like artistry. And I think that has created an umbrella term to where anything really can be indie. And like indie, you know, as in short for independent, has kind of morphed into something to where it's like a sound, I guess. Or maybe it's what everyone's talking about, a little bit looser and like rough on the edges, kind of like rock music, or I don't know. It seems like it has a very interesting sound, especially with like certain areas where you'll find indie groups, like when you get into things like the Backseat Lovers, and then it'll be like super reverb, like crazy hits on guitar or something like that. I think that there is definitely like many different streams you can go down of certain sounds, and it all falls under, I guess, that looser term of indie.
Yeah, and you guys, and that's what I was thinking, and you guys said it right there, like all the different kinds of styles mixed into it, and I feel like that's what makes indie rock great, but also like people like me, kind of confusing, because we don't know what is indie, but it does have all these like arms that grab onto, like you said, like Motown, folk, like all this, like rock, the bluegrass stuff, and I think that's like, that's the coolest thing about it, and like the longevity of it. Like indie rock, like, just changes, right? Like, I imagine it just changes with the time, but it's still indie rock, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense
for sure. Sort of like a mixture of the music at the time.
Yeah, right on. And like you guys mentioned earlier about one that like you guys try all this different stuff and like listening to your songs, like they do sound like different. You guys aren't afraid to try different things. And I was wondering, cause that's the most interesting thing to me when I talk to artists is I would like to be in their head when they're in the studio or just like dealing around on a guitar or something. Like, how do you, like when you like to experiment with stuff, like, do you know you're doing it? Like when you find something new that you haven't hit yet and like, you're evolving, you're progressing. And I'm wondering if you guys are aware of it as it's happening, or you put the song out, you look back and you're like, oh fuck, that's something we didn't try yet. Like that's pretty crazy. Like, how is your experimental process, I guess? Like how do you guys go about that?
I don't know. I think
we're pretty aware.
I think that, yeah, I'd say we're pretty aware. Some of the things that come to mind when I think of things that we've done that's experimental, I would say our song Mile Dive is pretty experimental in comparison to the rest of our discography. And I think that was kind of just like a late night. Like, it was Grayson and I went to Double Dogs because Marty was a surfer there at the time. And we were like, Marty, we're like, we're going to all go home when you get done with your ship, and we're all going to write and record and finish the song in one night. And that's like what happened. So, I mean, it literally was an experiment, and now that's like our most streamed song. But specifically, like, I don't know how much of this will be jargon, but like, we produced it and I mainly did it on Logic and stuff. And so we were throwing like LFOs on Marty's reverb of his vocals, which kind of make it flutter. And then at the ending, we literally just took the main lead guitar, reversed the whole track and put like delay and reverb on it. So we were like kind of just messing around, but like I think we knew we were being experimental. And then after the fact, we were like, okay, it works. But we were like kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, I guess. So I think we were conscious of being experimental, but we only kind of push it through when it's like, okay, we're doing something cool.
Yeah. And like, I know that was kind of a convoluted question to ask, but like, I'm sure you guys have. Well, maybe, I don't know if you've seen that Get Back documentary for the Beatles. It's like the 6-hour long one at all. I don't know if you guys watched that.
Some clips and stuff, though.
Yeah, and like just watch, and this is also the Beatles we're talking about, but like just watching them like sitting in the studio, just like they're drinking tea and like eating, and then all of a sudden Paul starts playing Get Back. It's like, how the fuck like does that work? Like it's just nuts to me. But I don't want to get off too off topic. But I when I was looking into you guys, I also saw like footage and pictures of your guys' live show. And in my opinion, when it comes to getting new fans, aside from, you know, like your Discover Weekly playlist on Spotify, but when it comes to getting new fans and keeping new fans, in my opinion, as a fan, it's the live show. I think that's like the most important thing, especially for like an up and coming band. And I guess first off, how would you guys describe your live show to someone who hasn't been there yet?
I would say we try to be like the most fun band, like of the night or whatever. So like we typically try to have a lot of energy and just try to like make everyone have a good time with us. You know, I feel like that's why all fans of music and especially early adopters that are into small bands, like, you know, they want a community and they want to go to shows for fun. And I think if, you know, we can just like make people have fun and make people have a good night, then that's, you know, that's all we can do. So we also try to do like with our slower stuff, sometimes we'll strip it down and do some slower stuff. And yeah, I think the high energy thing is like what we try to go for most of the time.
Totally. I also think, like, in a way, like, I mean, we've been playing on stage since we were freshmen in high school, and we kind of just have this chemistry with each other to where, you know, our entire set doesn't need to be, you know, rehearsed down to the note. So like each set is different from each other. We get really jammy and sometimes we'll jam a song for 10 minutes if it's hitting with the crowd and all of us. And like we'll start to get experimental literally live on stage and try different hits and just like, I don't know, we just mess around and just have a good time. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love that. Nothing like a good like 10-minute long jam when like you aren't expecting it. And the chemistry is like probably the most important part to it too.
Sometimes you're not expecting it either.
Just keep going. That's awesome.
Marty, no.
Awesome. When it comes to, and you guys kind of got like, just from when you guys started and even to now, like in that period of time, you guys got kind of plopped right into the music industry being very social media, TikTok driven, streaming, of course. Was that easy to really like dive into when you guys like first started to now? Is it still kind of difficult? Like, it looks like you guys, when it comes to your like content and being able to like keep fans into it on the socials, you guys are doing a damn good job. So I was wondering about how, like, was that easy to kind of get under control when you first started? Or
yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because we're musicians who like are honestly forced to become content creators, you know. And it's not easy, but we try our best, but it's always like a little bit hard because you know you can be doing more, you know. Yeah. And especially it's so easy with social media just to compare your content to other people's content, and you're like, oh, they're posting this quality of videos 7 times a week, why am I not doing that? And you know, but at the same time, we're also students, and we have lives outside of the band that we try to give respect to, and so, you know, we're not always available to film and make as much content, but yeah, I mean, we just try our best, and it just works, you know. I feel like so much of social media is, it's just algorithms and luck at a certain point.
Yeah.
You can do things like hopping on trends or putting a trendy hashtag, but it's never a guarantee.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, it sounds cliche, but it's 100% true. Like, the music speaks for itself. Like, that's what it comes down to, is the music. And that's why you see like some of these guys and gals who will go viral on a TikTok, they're like here and gone in a month's time. But the ones who are, you know, like the people who have the juice and are able to make good music are the ones that stick around. So like, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So hell yeah, guys. But let's talk about Overpass. It came out last month, right? September, middle of September or so. And love it, by the way. Love it. That was the first one I listened to and I really dove into you guys. And I guess just first off, if there is like the theme behind it, story behind it, I'd love to hear it from you guys if any of you wants to take that up.
Yeah, I think we tend to write a lot of songs about girls, if you picked up that theme at all. that one's interesting. So we a lot of times, like when we write songs, one of us will like bring an idea or something to the group, and then we'll kind of go from there, and everyone kind of puts their own flavor on it. That one, I don't know. The first kind of thing came to me was just like the "You Left Me Hanging at the Overpass." I thought that was cool and catchy. And like a lot of times I'll be like humming and something will stick and it's like, that's a keeper, you know? And so I think that one we took to the group, we all just kind of ended up, you know, sticking with that theme of like, "You Left Me Hanging at the Overpass." Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think it came out really awesome. And I know Marty does a lot of the, we'll all kind of work back and forth with the words. I feel like the lyrics sometimes are the last thing to come in a lot of songs. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with how that one came out.
It's interesting because like a lot of our writing process, like, you know, we bounce off of each other on things, and it's interesting because we're writing a song together, but we're each approaching it with like our own, you know, idea of what the meaning of the song is. So specifically for Overpass, Grayson and I worked on the lyrics the most, and you know, what he was sending me, I was interpreting, you know, maybe something completely different as to what he was getting when I was sending it back. But it's just kind of like a, you know, just a almost like a beautiful thing. Like, it's just like kind of happening, you know, and it kind of reveals itself. And a lot of the times the actual, you know, lyric of the song, like, it can be like subject about a girl or something, but a lot of times it does have a deeper meaning, you know. And specifically for Overpass, it was kind of like, you know, feeling like you were going to get left in a transitional period, and just like, you know, maybe not knowing what's next and stuff. But also it's hard to just say that, you know, onto a song and have lots of people relate to it. But, you know, people can relate to relationship issues and just not even relationships, but or with like romantically, but just with like other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like, I don't know, that kind of masks like a deeper meaning to it, but.
Yeah. And it is something like, at least to me listening to the song, like it is something that I relate to. I'm sure like everyone could relate to it. And that has to be really cool as an artist to see that your guys is, and in this case, both of you like putting it together yourselves that way, like you said, like being able to connect that with, you know, people you don't even know who listen to your songs. It's kind of cool how that works. Like, you know, it's kind of cool how like lyrics that can mean one specific thing, one specific girl to like one of you guys or someone else, it means the same thing to another person halfway across the country. That's a pretty dope thing.
Yeah.
Cool. And I was also curious real quick, like your recording situation, you got, who do you record with, or do you do it all yourselves or like producers, anything like that?
Most of these, the recent ones that we're rolling out right now, Crash Up, Overpass, the next one that's coming out, it's called Tides. We did at Pink Moon Sound in Knoxville with our buddy Aiden Hodges. He was the mixing engineer on that and the producer. Yeah. But we've also done Blackbird Academy in Nashville has a, Blackbird has the academy. So we've done some recording weeks there where, you know, you show up and you record. And all the students are kind of like learning and helping out. So we've done some that way. And we've also done some home recording as well, kind of all over the place. But the most recent stuff was done at Pink Moon. So.
Hell yeah. And you mentioned like your new stuff coming out. I guess before we go, like what do you guys got coming up when it comes to new tunes or even touring? If you guys got anything like that, like what do you guys got down the pipe?
First,
what
we got next?
Oh yeah, we got we do a lot of like college Greek life stuff, and then we have a whole winter tour coming in December. We're doing first time we've ever been out there.
You didn't say where we're going.
What's up?
We're going we've toured a lot recently. You know, like tomorrow night we're gonna be down in Baton Rouge. But this winter tour, I mean, we're doing like a mix of ticketed shows, Greek life, that kind of thing. But this winter tour, we're doing, a whole tour up the East Coast. We're hitting, DC, Philly, Boston, New York City, just kind of going up and down and around. And,
new tune wise, we have one more, single to close off the year. Coming out October 24th called Tides. And then to start the year, we'll have two more singles. And then we'll put the whole album out.
Which will be about March.
Yeah.
Hell March, yeah. March Hell April. Yeah. That's exciting, boys. That's awesome. I can't wait for it. I was very impressed with what I heard. And I can't wait to see what you guys have next. So thanks a lot for hopping on, guys. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we could finally do this.
Well, so much.
Yeah, and one more thing where people can find you, socials, website, anything like that, the floor is yours.
Yeah, our Instagram is at Band Solstice. Everything else is The Band Solstice. Our website is thebandsolstice.com, and we'd appreciate it if you check us out and give us a follow and come out to a show. We'll have a good time.
Hell yeah. You guys make sure to do that. Also check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Google us, will pop up. So thanks everyone for listening. Thank you guys again. This is a lot of fun. And we'll see you all next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Gonna take you home now. Cause baby I'm down to get dirty with you and me and some Tennessee whiskey on us. We ain't gotta get no rep. Take your time, make you feel just right. Make the best of this self.